Find more State House coverage at sdpb.org.
Welcome, everyone, to the Senate Commerce Committee meeting. Secretary, may I call the roll?
Senator Adelstein? Senator Gant? Here. Senator Merchant? Here. Senator Nesselhoff? Here. Senator Turback-Berry? Senator Nelson? Here. Senator Olson?
Here.
There is a quorum.
Quorum is present, and we will entertain a motion to approve the minutes. Been a motion by Senator Nesselhoff, seconded by Senator Gant to approve the minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion to approve the minutes is passed. We'll move now into our calendar. The chair is going to defer House Bill 1060 until Thursday, the 26th of February. And other than that, we'll stick to the calendar as you have it in front of you. If there are people that have traveled in from out of town to testify as a proponent or an opponent to House Bill 1060, we will hear from you, but we will take final action on Thursday. So with that, proponents for House Bill 1050, which is an act to revise the annual financial reporting requirements of insurance companies. Welcome, Mr. Moses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Division of Insurance. House Bill 1050 is a very important bill from the Division of Insurance perspective and from the perspective of those insurance companies that are domiciled here in South Dakota. As a matter of explanation, the financial regulation of insurance companies is primarily handled by the state of domicile if in fact the state has accreditation standards met. That is, they're accredited by the NAIC. South Dakota is currently accredited, and every so often those accreditation standards are changed. And in fact, the NAIC, through the work of all the states, agreed to upgrade the financial solvency standards and require some new steps to be taken to maintain accreditation. And so this will be necessary for the Division of Insurance to maintain its accredited status with respect to financial solvency. One downside, I would just mention that if, in fact, South Dakota was no longer accredited, would be that our insurance companies would be subject to examination not just by South Dakota, but every other single state that they're licensed in, which could be quite an onerous requirement and cost them a considerable amount of money. But with that said, this bill has some merit in its own self. As I mentioned, we are talking about some additional financial solvency oversight that will provide additional protection to make sure that the insurance company is solvent to pay their claims when the policyholder claims come due. Let me just go through some of the highlights of the bill. It's quite lengthy, but I think some of the points are worth mentioning. One of the key aspects of it deals with audits that the insurance company will do to make sure that their finances are in order. The insurance company would be required to appoint an audit committee of the board of directors. The lead audit partner, when they're doing these audits, can't serve more than five consecutive years. And the types of service that the independent CPA that they would be utilizing to do these audits, there's some limitations there to prevent conflict of interest. We want to make sure that those are truly independent audits. Requires the audit committee to review and approve all services that the CPA would perform unless that they're, the insurer is otherwise Sarbanes-Oxley compliant, which is a federal law to ensure minimum financial standards there, says that a partner, senior manager of the CPA could not have been employed by the insurance company within the last year. Another measure to ensure that there's not a conflict of interest in performing these audits. There's also some additional protections in that the officers and directors would be prohibited from making false statements to their CPAs and would also prohibit the officers and directors from fraudulently influencing the CPAs in the performance of their audits. It also requires the larger insurers, those with $500 million or more in annual premium, to file with the Division of Insurance annual report regarding the internal control over their financial reporting requirements. So there's some extra reporting requirements there. Also, there's an additional reporting requirement that the insurers, both in property casualty and the health insurers side, file annually a actuarial opinion summary so that we can, again, review those with some degree of integrity. And finally, requires that those actuarial opinions must be filed with the annual statement and are considered public documents so that those are there's transparency there to the public in case somebody wants to look at them. So those are some of the measures that this bill would put into place to, again, upgrade our financial solvency requirements and keep us accredited. There is an amendment that another proponent is going to offer, and I just want to mention that we're supportive of that amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moses. Additional proponents for House Bill 1050. We appreciate you doing the double duty of stand-in page for the day as well.
Good morning. Paul Bichon on behalf of the American Insurance Association. We are a trade group of property casualty insurers. We bluntly missed an issue in this bill when it came over on the House side. It dealt with the Model Act that this bill is mirrored after, and the provision in Section 45 of the bill, upon further review, it didn't necessarily mirror the Model Act confidentiality provisions. The amendment that I've handed out, 1050JA, and if I can have permission to speak to the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you. After discussions with the Division of Insurance, the Division of Insurance was kind enough to prepare and draft the amendment we have in front of us. That amendment then does mirror the Model Act that this bill is based upon, simply that would ensure that records for these actuarial reports that are provided by companies in South Dakota remain confidential, and we would support the bill with the amendment on it.
Thank you. Additional proponents for House Bill 1050. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1050? Opponents? Seeing none, we'll go to questions from the committee on House Bill 1050. Any questions from the committee? Senator Adelstein.
Mr. Morris, please. Randy, I'm sorry. I'm amazing, Randy Morris.
Welcome, sir. State your name again.
Randy Moses.
By the way, Morris is the anglicization of the Hebrew name for Morris, so if it helps at all. Morris is for Moses, so anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't think about that. Kind of stuff. Mr. Moses, how many in-state insurance companies are there?
46. I'm sorry, I didn't look back at Wendell Molson, who's in charge of our financial section. 46 is our as number of insurance companies, but not all of them do business in other states. There's a few of them do, though.
And then, and how many are reach that large amount of premium?
One, I'm sorry.
There's one.
Just one.
And how large is the auditing staff that you have to look at this rather exhaustive? I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I keep going on without, pardon me.
In our financial section, Senator, we have, let me see, one, two. I believe there's five or six individuals. Plus, we have some contract examiners that we use to go out and routinely examine insurance companies.
Senator Adelstein, do you have any other questions for Mr. Yeah,
just a little. Then, do those auditors do anything other? I mean, do those examiners do anything other than the statements of internal companies?
They would look at foreign companies to a degree, but their primary function is the financial review of our domestic insurance companies.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. That answers
my question. Additional questions from the committee? Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, we'll close the public testimony on House Bill 1050 and move for committee discussion and or action.
I would move 1050J.
There's been a motion by Senator Nesselhoff to move the amendment to House Bill 1050JA, seconded by Senator Gant. The motion to adopt the amendment 1050JA, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 1050JA is hereby amended. And we'll move to further discussion and or action on House Bill 1050 as amended. There's been a motion by Senator Nesselhoff do pass, seconded by Senator Grant, or excuse me, Gant. at any rate, additional discussion on that motion. Seeing none, the secretary will call the roll. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. All opposed indicate by saying nay.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Terbeck-Berry?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
House Bill 1050, as amended, has hereby declared passed. Any other action on? There's been a consent motion by Senator Nesselhoff, seconded by Senator Gant. All those in favor of placing House Bill 1050 on the consent calendar indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It'll be on the consent calendar. We'll thereby move to House Bill 1057, an act to revise the maximum reimbursement for workers' compensation burial experience. Welcome, sir.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the committee. My name is James Marsh. I'm director of the Division of Labor and Management in the South Dakota Labor Department. The bill before you was unanimously recommended by the Governor's Advisory Council on Workers' Comp after taking testimony from members, from workers who had families, family members who died from workplace accidents, and were reimbursed not even a sufficient amount to cover their burial costs. The bill before you passed 13-0 in the House Commerce Committee and 70-0 on the House floor. House Bill 1057 updates the maximum reimbursement for burial expense when a South Dakota employee dies from a workplace injury. The law has been on the books since the work comp system was created in 1917 and has been periodically updated since. The maximum was set at $5,000 in 1996, and the bill increases that modestly to $7,500. The new amount was developed based on a survey of funeral costs provided to us by the State Funeral Directors Association. No premium cost impact is anticipated for private employers. For state government employees, our data shows that 4 state employees have suffered fatal work accidents since 1990, so it's anticipated that the fiscal impact will be minimal. We would urge you your support of House Bill 1057 for the benefit of the families of South Dakota employees who lose their lives on the job, who ask merely that they be fairly reimbursed for the costs they necessarily incur. And I'll be available for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Marsh. Any additional proponents for House Bill 1057? Welcome.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Paul Elward with the American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees, and I am one of the labor representatives on the Governor's Advisory Council for Workers' Compensation. As Mr. Marsh says, this did go through the council and was passed unanimously. We heard some figures during the testimony about the bill. Nationally, the maximums vary widely for the death benefit, from a low of $2,000 in Mississippi to whatever amount necessary in Kentucky. Surrounding states comparisons, in Iowa the benefit is $7,500. In Minnesota it's $15,000. In Nebraska it's $6,500. North Dakota is $6,500. And Wyoming is $10,000. According to the South Dakota Funeral Directors Association, the South Dakota average funeral costs $10,300. A plain, I hate to say no frills, but a plain funeral would run in the area of $6,500. In South Dakota, workers killed on the job in 2008, there were 21 deaths, and in 2007, there were 15 deaths. We would hope that you could pass the bill, and I'd be happy to answer questions if I could at the appropriate time. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, sir. Additional proponents for House Bill 1057. Additional proponents? Seeing none. Any opponents to House Bill 1057? Seeing none, we'll move to committee questions. Senator Nesloff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Mr. Marsh. Paul just testified, and I appreciate the knowledge of that, because that's about what I was expecting, is that the cost of the average funeral is substantially more than what we're moving this up to. Was there any consideration of moving it up to the average cost, or why did we decide on $7,500 instead of $10,000?
Mr. Chair, the information we received from the Funeral Directors Association was frankly all over the place. We picked $7,500 as something like a middle ground. The figure of $10,000 as an average was not given to us until after the council met and recommended, and our recommendations were made to the governor's office.
So if we pass this today, how long will it be before we come back and meet and move it up to $10,000 or whatever the average cost would be?
Mr. Chair, I would not wish to speculate.
Mr. Chair?
Additional questions. Senator Tebeckberry.
Well, my guess is neither you nor I would dare hold our breath for that long. How long did you say it took to get it from its original
state? 13 years.
All right. And it's true, is it not, that if the person who's killed on the job is a single person with no dependents, this would be the only workers' comp benefit they get, correct? Or am I?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Additional questions from the committee? Seeing none, we will close committee discussion on House Bill 1057 and move for committee discussion and or action. It's been a motion by Senator Gant do pass, seconded by Senator Nelson. We have a do pass motion on House Bill 1057. Any additional discussion on that? Seeing none, do pass motion on House Bill 1057. Secretary will call the roll. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, say nay.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Terbeck-Berry?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
House Bill 1057 passes with unanimous vote. Additional discussion on House Bill 1057? Senator Gant has moved consent, and it's been seconded by Senator Tirpak-Berry to put House Bill 1057 on the consent calendar. All in favor of putting House Bill 1057 on the consent calendar indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It'll be on the floor, and Senator Merchant, would you be kind enough to carry that on the floor for us? Thank you. We'll now move to House Bill 1205. Which is an act to permit an applicant for a responsible broker's license to complete the required 15 hours of education beyond the broker associate level after licensure as a responsible broker. Is the testimony as long as the bill title? thank you, Senator Nesloff, and welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I'll just be very brief and then turn it over to people who are much more knowledgeable than me in a number of areas, but particularly on this bill. Basically, the way it's set up is in order to sell real estate, a firm must have a responsible broker. If something happens to that person, that they have the firm has to shut down. My understanding is pretty much the difference between a broker and a responsible broker is a 15-credit-hour class. That's offered only at specific times around specific times during the year. This bill would just allow that a broker could take over the responsibility of the responsible broker if something happens to him or her, and under the idea that they're going to take that class at the next available time. And I'll turn it over to some experts.
Additional proponents for House Bill 1205. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dee Jones Nerdemir, and I'm the executive director for the Real Estate Commission. What House Bill 1205 does is it gives the Real Estate Commission authority to grant someone the authority to become a responsible broker in certain circumstances. Currently, we have only three schools in our state that offer this course. In 2005, one school did offer it five times. The other two only offered it twice in the year. Our educators have assured us that this six-month extension on this course is a good term, you know, for the getting this through or the course completed. And in real estate, we use the word fixer-upper, and basically that's what this bill is. It's a fixer-upper bill, so that this is not a hardship on those licensees that do wish to open up their own office. It does not waive the course. They still have to complete it. And with that, I urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any additional proponents for House Bill 1205? Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Matt Krogman, registered lobbyist with the South Dakota Association of Realtors. We are also here in support of this bill. We think it's a good benefit to our members and also to the consumers, and would also ask for your support of House Bill 1205. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional proponents for House Bill 1205? Seeing none, any opponents for House Bill 1205? Any opponents? Seeing none, we will open for committee questions on House Bill 1205. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony on House Bill 1205 and move for committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1205. It's been a motion by Senator Nesselhoff, seconded by Senator Merchant, do pass. Any other discussion on that motion? Seeing none, we have a House Bill 1205 do pass motion before us. All those in favor will indicate by saying aye. Opposed, say nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Edelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Turbeck-Berry?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
House Bill 1205 is hereby declared passed. There's been a motion by Senator Merchant, seconded by Senator Gant, to place House Bill 1205 on the consent calendar. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It'll be on the consent calendar. That concludes our calendar for today. Before we adjourn, I'd like to introduce some folks that are going to be helping us out for the next couple of weeks, and we're happy to have them. Jasmine Myers from Huron High School and Mike Herman from Lyman High School. Welcome, and thank you in advance for the work that you're going to help us with in the next couple of weeks. With that, that concludes our agenda for the day, and I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. It's been a motion by Senator Nesloff, seconded by Senator Merchant to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.